Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics.
Welcome, readers, to a brief recap of the history of our adventures in Protean City so far. For those of you who have enjoyed every issue as it has come out, enjoy this look back through those adventures. For you new fans, though, this should hopefully get you up to speed quickly, so you can either go back and listen to those issues, or jump right into the next volume. Let's get started. Volume Zero was a series of world-building episodes in which we meet our heroes. John Hobb is Puck, a boy doomed to be hunted by the trickster god he stole powers from. Sage Prince is Penance, a young witch who wants to learn to wield her magic to be a hero. Kalino Kahananui is Sokotoa, a math whiz who has no powers of his own, but uses his mind and enthusiasm brilliantly. Ben Schultz is Frequency, a delinquent who chooses to use his powers of technical manipulation to buck authority. Alina Mars is a girl rescued from a cult that may or may not have been responsible for her telekinetic powers. We also learned some of the history of Protean City, a city reborn as a home for heroes. We heard some of the early stories of great heroes like the Striped Eagle, Lunar Lens, and the Dynamic Blitz.
Our first story is Volume 1, Fashion Disaster. Alina Mars meets with her mentor, the man who rescued her from the Cult of the Appointed, a man who simply goes by The Asset. He gives her a tip to follow, her first mission. A powerful artifact, the Staff of Balagenos, has recently reappeared and is being sought out by the Devious Steam Society. Editor's note, the Steam Society are a group of wannabe steampunk villains with really bad accents. Without revealing the existence of her mentor, Alina convinces the team to investigate a local fashion show at the Tamiya Masters Performing Arts Building, where the Steam Society is supposed to attack. As the team makes a plan for how to enter without tickets, Puck opens a portal and rushes inside. Alone and in the dark, he discovers a menacing ticking crate. Having eventually found a clumsy way into the building through a window, Alina and Penance rush to his aid. Sokotoa and Frequency stay behind to distract some guards. Events spiral out of control as the Steam Society shows up and reveals that the ticking device was not a bomb, but some out-of-control steam machinery. It bursts out of storage crates and begins to assemble into a train. Combat goes poorly for our young heroes as they struggle to pull together as a team. They're able to successfully steer the rampaging train away from the civilians and stall the Steam Society until Silver Sleet and other adult heroes arrive. Alina manages to slip away and investigates a small antique shop that was the clear target of the train's rampage and finds the staff, which she secrets away.
In Volume 2, Hollow Eves, it is the night of Halloween. Sage and Alina attend a costume party. The girls are invited to the basement by classmates to play with a spirit board. Through the powers that the spirit invokes, the group are transported to an alternate dimension where Protean City is in ashes and survivors are hunted by the villain Death Shroud. Here they meet Fracture, a curiously familiar hero who seems to know their counterparts from this universe. They explain to the girls that they are drawn to ending universes. Death Shroud is a powerful entity that will soon consume this version of the world. Alina leads the classmates in a plan to reconfigure a particle accelerator to stop the villain. When Sage stands up to the monster, she is swallowed by it. Inside, she meets Alec Harlow, who explains that Death Shroud grants fantastic powers, but at a deep cost. Sage is offered the powers, but declines. When the particle accelerator fails, Fracture offers to return everyone to their world. Sage and Alina have an argument about leaving this world unsaved, but eventually, Alina forces Sage to come along with Fracture, who returns them to the dark basement they began in before they disappeared.
In Volume 3, Birds of a Feather, we find John, Ben, and Kalino doing community service on the Brightside Bay boardwalk. They are interrupted by a fiery explosion as the villain Dr. DeVillis bursts out of a building. They quickly act to save the day. Puck faces Davilas head-on and is teleported to a hellish pocket dimension, while Sokotoa and Frequency act to save the civilians nearby. The day is saved as the city's stalwart hero Centurion and a new armored hero arrive on the scene. With some help from the boys, they take down Dr. Davilas. The new hero reveals herself to be Striped Eagle Mark II. Released from the Hell Dimension, Puck makes a quick stop at the studios of WPRT Radio, where he joins Jack Chance live on the air. Unbeknownst to the public, Jack Chance is an agent of the Trickster God and Puck's nemesis. Chance offers a cash reward for anyone who can reveal Puck's secret identity. Later that night, when Kalino calls his new crush, the young Striped Eagle, he and the team are offered an opportunity to work with Falcon, the federal agency for the legislation and coordination of outstanding non-humans. They are called to act to tame the rampaging pterosaur. Coordinated by Falcon and the Striped Eagle, the boys easily stop the stony dinosaur. During the fight, Puck discovers in its memories that it was unleashed by Falcon for some unknown purpose. It seems Falcon may have been less honest than they originally thought.
Volume 4, Holidazed, focuses on a holiday party for Sage, Ben, and the other orphans who live at Peacoy, the Protean Center for Outstanding Youth. The festivities are interrupted by the Miscreants, a local gang of powered hoodlums, led by the Verminister of Fear, as they attempt to steal donations to the orphanage. The rest of the team, who had been throwing snowballs outside, are called in to put things in order. In the chaos of the fight, Hermosa Vida, defender of the people, is injured by one of the miscreants. With the villains behind bars, the team go to Dynamite Jack's, their favorite diner, to celebrate and exchange gifts. The celebrations are cut short when Windshear, a blustery anti-hero, attacks the police station where the miscreants are being held. He seeks vengeance against the one who injured his wife, Hermosa Vida. Feeling a sense of responsibility, the team prevents him from hurting anyone. Puck opens a portal to the hospital, where he can see Hermosa, alive and being tended to. With the situation diffused for real, the young heroes retreat to Puck's lighthouse sanctuary to finish exchanging gifts.
In Volume 5, Three Capes and a Baby, Sage is given the responsibility of babysitting the daughter of the visiting Halcyon City Mayor. She invites her friends, Ben and Kalino, to help her wrangle the young girl. While Claire butts heads with Sage, she immediately is taken by Sokotoa, who is one of her favorite heroes. When the group spends too long bickering about where to show the girl in the city, she wanders off. Sage panics, and a game of hide-and-seek commences. Through some quick thinking by Frequency, the team is able to track Claire's cell phone, and they find her just as the villains Inspector Insector, Sorceroct, and Vapor Fist begin a terrifying assault on the city. Our young heroes make their way towards a subterranean shelter, letting the city's team of heroes, the Old Guard, led by Centurion, handle the powerful villains. In the bunker, they find safety and a moment of rest before the shelter is itself assaulted, not by villains, but by a non-powered assault force seeking to kidnap the mayor's daughter. Sage, Frequency, and Sokotoa put on a spectacle and protect everyone in the shelter. Disaster averted, the heroes are thanked by Lunar Lens and the Old Guard for doing their part. It is revealed that Claire is actually the age-morphing hero Timeline. This, you see, was part of a test to determine if the team were ready to work more closely with the adult heroes. They passed, but are left feeling once again betrayed.
In Volume 6, Blinded by Science, Alina, John, and Kalino attend the local Protean City University's Science Expo. Kalino is drawn toward the robotic exhibit by Dr. Sybil Morris, a brilliant mouse scientist who designed the robot Trip that fights crime with the Old Guard. John and Alina speak to Dr. Evelyn Amari, an expert in time and space manipulation. Everyone moves into a presentation hall, prominently featuring Dr. Sublime, locked in combat with the Void Wrap, sealed together in crystal energy by the good doctor. There the crew listen to Dr. Rakesh Harshal describing his work in power-suppressing technology. The keynote is interrupted when waves of the watery elemental form of the Kraken surge into the building. Alina and John are joined by Crawdad in attempting to stop the villain. Sokotoa is swept out into the hall by the water, where he discovers a group of people attempting to steal technology from Dr. Morris. A chase ensues as our heroes run after the thieves. They find themselves facing off against Dilettante, the hero identity of billionaire Diane Sloan, who has been controlled by one of the thieves, calling herself Mindshot. Though it is close, our heroes defeat them, only to discover that they are members of the appointed cult that Alina was rescued from and was believed to be disbanded. She calls in the asset, revealing her connection to him, in order to take Mindshot captive for further interrogation.
Volume 7, Birds and Degrees, starts with our hero Soka Toa spending quality time with the young Holly Pang, aka Striped Eagle, as they fight more members of the Steam Society. While they chase the villains through the city, they are both knocked unconscious and kidnapped. When they awake, they find themselves held captive by Viewscreen, a villain obsessed with television who was thought to be dead. The two young heroes are put through a series of dating game-inspired trials for the enjoyment of Viewscreen, but also to be broadcast across the city. The Striped Eagle and Soka Toa are eventually able to free themselves and Holly's parents. They uncover that the villain posing as Viewscreen is actually Reap Post, a villain obsessed with copycatting old villains. With Reap Post stopped, Holly and Kalino part ways, knowing a little bit more about each other.
At the start of Volume 8, Kickbait Number 1, Alina contacts John about further interrogation of Mindshot using his memory manipulation powers. During their conversation, chaos on the street draws them out and into costume. The city is being menaced by the Hands of Evil, Mr. Derecho, and Mrs. Scherda. As the Hands drive off with their ill-gotten gains, Puck and Alina begin their pursuit. They run into a new, younger hero, calling himself Kickbait. He's a modern generation hero with a penchant for kicking and a lot of luck. They run to catch up with the car. Puck is able to leap onto the top. Together with a distraction from Alina, now infiltrated inside the van, Puck is able to cause the van to crash. The villains and heroes face off as a news van from WPRT, driven by Jack Chance, just happens to stop by. Kickbait and Alina fight the Hands of Evil while Puck accidentally breaks Jack Chance's phone. Puck uses his memory powers to get inside Jack's mind, only to find an open gateway to the trickster himself. Puck recoils and lets Chance go, but not before discovering that Chance is the source of Kickbait's luck. With Chance rebuffed, and despite interference by Kickbait, Puck and Alina are able to capture the Hands and pass them on to the police.
Volume 9 is an issue of Dr. Demoniaco Jr. y El Increíble Light Show. In this side episode, we meet Dr. Demoniaco Jr. and Light Show. Dr. Demoniaco Jr. is a lucha hero who wrestles by day and hunts monsters by night. Light Show is the star of local broadcast TV, currently on a show that is loosely based on Demoniaco Jr.'s life. The two young wrestlers are challenged to the match of a lifetime. The only complications are that one of the challengers is an old acquaintance from Demoniaco Jr.'s past, and the other is a long-dead hero. Lightshow can't resist tweeting about the fight, which intentionally attracts fans, but inadvertently puts them in danger. When Demoniaco Jr. and Lightshow arrive at the scene of the match, they find their challengers, the werewolf Lunito and Mascara Vampira, have brainwashed all of Lightshow's fans. A tremendous wrestling match ensues. Lightshow uses his power over light to wield sunlight to burn the vampire Mascara Vampira. This allows him to help Demoniaco Jr. take down Lunito, but not before Demoniaco is bitten by Vampira, although he hides this from Lightshow. They are able to free their fans and discover that this was all a ploy by Reap Post, who dug up the past to cause trouble today.
Volume 10, Heroes Lost and Found, begins with Alina going to make sure John is okay. He has become reclusive since his last interaction with Jack and the trickster. As they begin to talk, a portal opens up and pulls them through. The other side of the black hole drops them on the street of an unnervingly familiar city. Everything looks a little off and a bit more sepia-toned. Everyone around them is wearing clothing that looks like it's straight out of the past. The pair stand out in their modern clothes and standing on the sidewalk in a pile of things from John's lighthouse. They are noticed and shuffled along by Phyllis, who takes them to her friend Ramon, who works in a local bookstore owned by his uncle. John looks into the memories of the store owner, Federico, and confirms that they have been sent back into the past before the widespread rise of heroes in Protean City. To make things more complicated, Alina quickly realizes Ramon as young Windshear, the hero they fought in the police station. They overhear an alert on the news that something strange is happening in the center of town. There, they discover that the villain known as The End has begun a countdown clock for this version of the past. As young Ramon starts to fight The End ineffectually, Fracture shows up again and reconnects with Alina. Fracture explains that The End is a world-killing villain that cannot be stopped, and begins to prepare to help Puck and Alina escape, as this is not their world. Hearing this, Ramon panics and runs off to try to save his wife and son. The clock counts down, and there isn't enough time. Federico's memories fresh in his mind, Puck runs off to save Ramon. He forcefully drags him back to Fracture, and the team escapes as the world ends.
Volume 11, Rogue Code, starts with Penance and Sokotoa escaping from an advanced medical facility where they've gone to rescue a captured alien who befriends Sokotoa. While they get acquainted, Kalino receives a phone call from Dr. Morris, who asks him to come by the university to help her solve a problem. The Hexworm, a dangerous computer virus that wields almost magical powers, has gotten loose and is responsible for the technological chaos going all over the city. Sage and Kalino meet with people around the university, including Professor Bowman, who works in the library and is clued in on magical knowledge. They discover the truth, that the Hexworm is going to perform a ritual that will allow it to enter a physical body. It has its eyes set on the Pterosaur, now held captive for study in one of the university's labs. To prevent the Hexworm from enacting its plan to use the magic ritual to enter the body of the Pterosaur, Penance interrupts the spell and reroutes Hexworm into herself. In the moments after it takes over her body, Sokotoa is able to subdue her and remove her magic by using a crystal that she carries with her in case her powers get out of control. Without her powers, she's able to trap the Hexworm in the back corners of her mind and wrestle back control of herself.
In Volume 12, Missing Pieces, we join Alina, Frequency, and Windshear in the middle of a fight against the boxing clown, Punchline. He gives the team a run for their money and covertly takes a blood sample from Windshear that is picked up by a passing drone. A speedster shows up to help with the fight, but not soon enough, and Punchline escapes. A nearby homeless woman reveals that she is in fact Timeline in disguise and explains that the speedster is Blitz, the former kid sidekick of the Dynamic Blitz, who turned in her mask and gave up crime fighting. They invite the team back to Blitz's warehouse to propose working together. Timeline explains that the captured head of the assault team that came to kidnap the Halcyon City Mayor's daughter had disappeared during transport to a secure facility. They suspect it's an inside job. Alina and Ramon head off to the police station to ask questions, while Frequency, Timeline, and Blitz head to Callaway Energies to investigate the source of the drone. At the police station, it is discovered that certain officers responsible for the transport were paid off, but the transactions were set up months in advance, and the officers themselves seem on the level. At Callaway, the team discovers that the drone's movements had been slowly shifting for years so that nothing would be noticed. When the team gets back together to talk about what they've found, Trip, Timeline's robot teammate on the Old Guard, shows up but is infected with some kind of a computer virus. It speaks with a strange voice and offers Ramon a way back in time to see his family. Trip shakes off the intrusion and heads out, leaving both teams speechless.
In Volume 13, Beneath the Surface, Frequency and Puck are both fighting the Girded Lizard. After the arrest, the boys take a moment to relax and reflect on life. They are interrupted by two strangers who look an awful lot like Ben. They introduce themselves as Ben's siblings, heroes who call themselves Loadout and Download. They ask Ben and John to join them on their mission to break into a secret Falcon base in Brightside Bay. Falcon has been detaining mutants of all sorts, the adult Windshear among them, whether they've committed a crime or not. After some self-reflection, Ben decides to go, and John agrees to join him. Through a combination of the Schultz siblings' technology powers and Puck's penchant for running into a situation without a plan, the crew break into the base. Inside, they make their way to a detention core. They split up, with Puck and Loadout going to free the prisoners while Frequency and Download go to shut down security systems in the main control room. Motivations are not all they seem, and it quickly becomes obvious that Ben's new siblings are here to do more than free people. Download begins to set the base up to explode. In the detention section, Loadout and Puck face off against the imposing director of Falcon, wielding power-suppressing equipment. Things take a turn for the worse, and Puck breaks and runs. He finds himself somewhere safe and calls the Lunar Lens for advice and help. The Schultz siblings come back together and are able to pressure the director long enough that the captured mutants can escape. Puck meets the team at the hangar, and they get out before the base explodes. At the surface, they are met by Hermosa Vida and the rest of what is a newly formed mutant resistance. This is the beginning of our road to the Falcon Down event.
In Volume 14, Other Worlds, Alina takes Ramon and some friends from school to the new virtual reality game arcade. When one of their friends is trapped by a virtual villain, they must dive back into a virtual fantasy world to launch their rescue attempt. They chase a glitched virtual AI through a science fiction world, a fantasy world, a western, and even a zombie apocalypse. Through this chase, they discover the AI's goal is to suck life from their captured friend. Only when Alina risks taking off the VR helmet to mess with the computer systems physically can Ramon defeat the villain and free their friend.
In Volume 15, In Desperate Need, the city is changing. The Falcon Down event has begun. Frequency has joined up with the mutant organization, taking leadership of a small team. Puck has stayed out of it, not being a mutant himself, and has instead focused on his personal issues, some of which involve once more seeking out Dr. Amari. Sage is coping with being powerless. She's started to find her footing as a competent hero even without magic, and the mutant community has started to rise up against the overstepping of the Falcon organization in their city. When a mutant breaks into a science lab and wounds some civilian scientists, Puck, Frequency, and a depowered Sage begin investigating what they were after. They track the thief to their next target, Callaway Energy Labs. Although they run into the hero Calavera, suspiciously already on site, they do prevent the thief from stealing any more chemicals. The team take their captured thief back to Lunar Lens to decide what should be done. Lunar Lens suggests they take her, a mutant struggling with powers that accidentally hurt people they love, to a new group in town that could help remove those powers. The Appointed.
Volume 16, Where There's Smoke, finds us catching up with Alina. She has been practicing and honing her psychic talents against the asset's advice. The Appointed are back on the scene and have publicly offered to help anyone with powers that needs help. When Alina and Sage respond to a building fire, they find Appointed members Guild and Arc Flash already on the scene, mostly handling the fire. When they discover the fire is being caused by Miss DeVillis, they team up to fight the villain. Although most of the heroes end up jumping out of a window, they do eventually subdue Miss DeVillis, in large part because of the help that Guild and Arc Flash provide. Unaware of Alina's past with the Appointed, they invite the girls to a recruitment mixer. Sage and Alina use the invitation as an excuse to get past the Appointed security and do some snooping around their base. It's also a perfectly good excuse for Sage to see Guild again. During her sleuthing, Alina discovers some evidence that suggests that Evan Lee, the leader of the Appointed, may be her father.
As Volume 17 starts, Sokotoa, Alina, and Sage receive invitations to the Dilettante's Ball. The ball is a yearly event hosted by the Dilettante at the home of Diane Sloan to raise money for Peacoy. It brings together some of the biggest names in Protean City's superheroics. Everyone shows up in a fantastic costume. Although she tries hard, Sage fails to get any of the adults to give her any alcohol. Sokotoa meets up with the young Striped Eagle in a beautiful dress. When the spotlight is turned on the Dilettante to make a speech about the importance of Peacoy as a place to raise young heroes without families, a villain strikes. Everyone suddenly finds themselves unable to move, locked in place by the powers of the Bloodomancer. Only Sage and Kalino are strangely able to move, and they begin hatching a plot to free their friends and defeat the villain. The ringleader reveals herself as Firefly, a former member of the Sisters of the Moon, a team that included the Dilettante and the Lunar Lens before they disbanded. She feels strongly that the money raised would be better spent funding the mutant militia forming in the city. Sage is able to eventually break the Bloodomancer's hold in the crowd, and with Sokotoa's help, they foil Firefly's plans.
In Volume 18, White Elephant, there is a new power-swapping villain on the scene. Our heroes have their powers changed up. The team converges and try to support each other as they discover their new and sometimes very strange powers. On the news, the heroes discover that Meathead, a hyper-muscular mutant, is terrorizing City Hall. The team fights Meathead. Sokotoa using his new gravity manipulation powers to fly and throw pieces of statue around. Windshear wields emotions like a weapon and maybe has some healing powers? Frequency seems to have retained his old powers, but tries out some new things, just in case. The Asset and Alina pick up a sloppy puck and meet up with the rest of the crew after they defeat Meathead. Alina informs the team that she suspects that the fortune teller is behind this. She is a mysterious villain who the team come to believe is hiding out in a new apartment tower being built. The team confront the fortune teller directly and are quickly able to capture her crystal orb, the source of her power. Before it can be smashed, Sokotoa steals it away and considers not setting things back to normal. He has enjoyed having actual powers. After some time, he decides that he must do what's right and break the orb. Although he does the right thing, the hesitation breaks Alina's trust in Kalino.
In Volume 19, Powder Keg, events in Protean City begin to heat up. Hermosa Vita contacts Frequency, letting him know to ready his mutant group. The time to take the Bash, a mutant-heavy lower-class district, and establish it as a strong center of the mutants' power in Protean City has come. Ben is worried about bystanders getting hurt and prepares for the worst. Our friend Holly, the young Striped Eagle, shows up at Peacoy to warn Sage of an impending Falcon raid. While Lunar Lens is away on a secret mission, Sage is in charge and quickly puts the building into lockdown, although she doesn't trust the Striped Eagle enough to let her in. Things get complicated when a new hero, Highwire, and her ex-boyfriend, Ringleader, are hired by Falcon to steal some files from an upper-class apartment. Curious about the nature of its contents, Highwire is shocked to find it is a list of every known mutant in the city. Knowing she must trust her heroic instincts, Highwire convinces Ringleader that they have to deliver the files to Hermosa Vita instead of Falcon. The volume culminates as a small group of identical Falcon agents in Striped Eagle armor arrive at Peacoy at the same time as Frequency, Hermosa Vita, and the rest of the Mutant Liberation Group. Things get even more tense as Highwire arrives, unmasking Falcon's plans. Lunar Lens calls Sage, telling her that she was working with Falcon to try to calm everything down, but has been betrayed. Sage acts quickly and a fight breaks out. They discover that not only are the Falcon agents wearing identical armor to Striped Eagle, they appear to be the duplicates themselves. Eventually, a deal is struck. The director will take Hermosa Vita into his custody in exchange for leaving Peacoy untouched and off-limits. With her final words before being taken away, Hermosa Vita passes leadership of the mutants to Ben.
Volume 20 is the final volume of the Falcon Down event. It begins with Frequency being alerted by his computer system that a Falcon raid is likely to hit a mutant bar in the Brightside Bay community, not far from where his friend Kalino and his family live. Frequency acts quickly to mobilize the mutants and warns his friends. Sage and Kalino meet up with Ben outside the bar. Kalino is wearing a black costume, as the events of the Power Swap episode have left him questioning what kind of hero he wants to be. They arrive just as the Falcon team of Striped Eagles surround the area. Puck is coming from further, and Falcon checkpoints delay his travel. On his way, he is drawn to an explosion, where he discovers that the Hands of Evil and a new villain, Gloom, are taking out their anger on a government building. Ben, Sage, and Kalino scuffle with a Striped Eagle clone they confront in an alley before facing off the larger group. They call down the Striped Eagle they know, Holly, identifiable in her custom-painted armor, and attempt to talk them out of rounding up the mutants in the bar. Frequency diffuses the situation by convincing Holly that the real villains are the Hands of Evil attacking the government building elsewhere. Meanwhile, Puck first fights and then talks down the Hands of Evil, throwing magic and then suggesting that Mr. Derecho run for political office. Just when things seem handled, two Striped Eagle clones show up and end up in a conflict with Puck over who will take the Hands of Evil into custody. Although he has prevented Falcon from rounding up the mutants, Sage is furious with Ben for being willing to work with Falcon at all and heads off alone, running from her friends and heading to rescue Lunar Lens alone. a small whispering voice of the hexworm suggests that maybe it could help her. Everyone comes together around Puck and the Hands of Evil. Puck has jostled the memories of the two Striped Eagle duplicates, getting the upper hand. Sokotoa tries to break through to Holly and make her understand what Falcon is doing is wrong. She doesn't seem to hear him, and in a moment of physical confrontation, Puck looks into her memories and sees that Falcon has tampered with them, making her forget key incidents that would cause her to doubt their intent. Before the fighting can escalate, the Striped Eagle team is called back to the main base, as it is being attacked. Inside that very base, Sage has managed to sneak in on her own, rejecting help from the Hexworm and freeing the prisoners. Unfortunately, Lunar Lens and the others have not been treated well, and they aren't up to fighting their way out. Sage is trapped. Knowing they will need all the help they can get, the remaining team stops by Alina's secret base to pick up her and Windshear. At the Falcon base, Alina storms up and confronts Holly outside directly. She overhears the director telling Holly to activate the Swarm Protocol. Frequency cuts off her communication abruptly, which stops her, but inadvertently makes the director think she is disobeying orders. He begins administering electric shocks through her suit to make her comply. Alina, Puck, and Frequency force their way into the base and meet up with Sage inside. Together, they try to figure out what is wrong with Lunar Lens and help her. Puck looks through her memories and finds them severely lacking. Between that and the constant talk of a tank, Ben begins to suspect that this Lunar Lens might be a clone. Outside, Sokotoa tries to rescue Holly from the dangers of her suit, but accidentally makes things worse and causes it to begin to overheat. The suit has become so damaged that he cannot help her, and it ultimately explodes, causing extreme damage, throwing Sokotoa, and almost certainly killing Holly inside. The team makes their way outside, just in time to see the explosion and to try to run to assist. Puck creates a fairy to lead the likely cloned Lunar Lens away to his sanctuary where she will be safe. Ben makes sure that Kalino is alive, and they get him to a car with Windshear to head off to the hospital. Having been earlier informed by the asset of another secret Falcon base, Alina suggests they head out of the city, north into the mountains, to find the real Lunar Lens. Unknown to anyone, Puck finds a wounded Striped Eagle clone and recovers much of the dying Holly's mind as he can, copying it into the new clone body. He takes her away to his sanctuary as well. The transfer was difficult and required drawing a lot of the trickster's power. John worries that she now may also be doomed like he is. Sage and Alina, alone, find their way to the secret Falcon base in the mountains north of Protean City, just as the director, piloting a new Condor armor, leaves for the city. When he arrives there, he manually activates the Swarm Protocol, causing all of the remaining Striped Eagle armors to join and form a shield dome over the city, effectively trapping anyone inside and Alina and Sage outside. With most of its agents inside the city, the girls make their way through the Falcon base easily. They rescue the real Lunar Lens, but find she has been infected with controlling nanobots. Back in the city, Kalino convinces Ben and Windshear that although he is wounded, they have a responsibility to head back and fight the director to protect their city. They turn back and are rejoined by Puck. The battle is hard, and the director responds to their first attack by blasting Puck through a brick wall, almost killing him. Sokotoa tries to harass and distract the director, while Frequency gets in touch with the girls, who have found a control center. Frequency uses his powers remotely, through Sage's phone, and is able to shut off the nanobots that are both controlling Lunar Lens and are the key to the director's control of the Condor armor. In a brilliant moment of truth, Sokotoa finds strength inside himself he didn't know he had. He pulls together a final attack, taking advantage of the director's slipped control over his armor. He throws an orb that causes the director to be ejected from the suit and viciously knocks him unconscious. Only in the moment when the dust settles do the heroes look around and find that the cameras of Protean City's news media are on them. With the threat of Falcon defused, our heroes have saved the day. Much of Protean City will need to be rebuilt, but this is nothing new. It is a city that has been reborn before, and it will once again rise like a phoenix from the ashes of the Falcon Down event.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.